They could hardly wait to get their triggers loaded. When the airplanes hitting the towers exploded. You should have seen them on the color TV. It was the first big war of the 21st century. The planes were still burning and they already had their man. They said that he was hiding in the mountains of Afghanistan. We asked to see the evidence, they said they couldn't show. This is war, they said, and that's all you need to know. America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. You want to talk about the casualties? Well, let's run it up the mast. 6,000 people died in that New York City blast. Like the 6,000 people every month that you kill. Strangling Iraq for a dirty dollar bill. And you want to talk about cruelty? Well, let's get it out. Depleted uranium, now what's that all about? Innocent millions, can you even see their tears? Irradiated homelands for 4 billion years. Talk about the terrorists and what makes them run. You taught them everything they know, you even sold them their guns. Every killer with a grudge is just a tool to be used. Then you throw them out and you forget about them until they make the news. America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name. An eye for an eye is the justice that you claim. But the numbers that we're talking about are a whole different game. All those millions of people with no place to hide. That ain't justice, that's genocide. I'm gonna have my say and I'll say it loud and clear. Every crowd on every corner where I can find an ear. And you can try to shut me up, but no matter what you do, I got a right to speak, cause I'm American too. America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it, not in my American name. America, you're scaring me, making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it. Not in my American name.
Hi. Welcome to another edition of Tokyo Progressive's Chocolate Paul News. My name is Paul Aronson, and I'm coming to you from, of course, Tokyo, Japan. That was Jim Page. Not Jimmy Page, but Jim Page from America, You're Scaring Me, courtesy of Charles Rosiner at No Censorship Radio in Boston. And we'll talk a little bit about why America is scaring me, too, in a little bit. But first, let's tell you a little bit about what's going on in Japan. On my website recently, there was a petition from a Japanese group which is opposing GM rice, in other words, genetically modified rice. And it dates from a couple of months ago, but the campaign is still going on. And It says that on October 5th, a number of signatures of organizations opposed to genetically modified rice was presented to Aventis, Monsanto, the Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and the Ministry of Health, Labor and Welfare. These are some of the ministries that have brought us some very important gifts, such as the mad cow disease and HIV infections of hemophiliacs. Well, now we have rice. Aventis, infamous for the Starlink corn problem, is preparing to import the herbicide-resistant Liberty Link rice. Must be designed by Donald Rumsfeld, it seems. Liberty Link rice into Japan for use in animal feed and processed foods. Of course, processed foods are things that people eat. They have already received approval from the Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries and are preparing to undergo a food safety inspection by the Ministry of Health, Labor and Welfare. Furthermore, Monsanto, which is working with the Aichi Prefecture Agricultural Research Center, has developed the genetically modified rice strain. I have to try to pronounce it here. It's written in Roman letters. Matsuribare. It looks like masturbation, but it actually says Matsuribare, and is seeking government approval to begin cultivation in Japan. Well, they've got a signature campaign, and if you visit our website at http://tokyoprogressive.org and you click on What's New, you'll see that. It dates from a couple of weeks ago, but it's up there. And now I'd like to tell you a little bit about what's scaring me. So without any further ado, let me play this tape, which is also from Chuck Rosina at No Censorship Radio in Boston, Massachusetts.
There's been a furor brewing in America's universities since a report published by the American Council of Trustees and Alumni questioned the patriotism of college professors who speak out against the war. The report, entitled Defending Civilization, How Our Universities Are Failing America and What Can Be Done About It, lists over 40 professors by name. Chuck Rosina reports from MIT.
Hugh Gustafson of MIT was quoted as saying, "The best way to begin a war on terrorism might be to look in the mirror." He stands by his quote, but questions the validity of the report.
I fear it reminds me of a time in the 1950s of McCarthyism, when lists were being compiled of people who in exercising their free speech rights were seen as un-American, and there was an attempt to blacklist them and destroy their careers.
I would say that characterization is extreme and unfounded.
Anne Neal is co-author of the report.
And what it suggests is the professor does not want to address the issues that are actually raised by the report, which are quoting professors who have some distinct inability to call evil by its rightful name, coupled by the fact that while they're pointing fingers at America frequently in the report, they are not providing students with an understanding of American history or the history of Western civilization, so that these students are unable to make up their own mind.
The root cause of the September 11th attack is still hotly debated, as it should be in a free society. To silence or intimidate dissent is un-American. Again, Professor Gustafson.
Well, the list would be more funny than it is if it weren't for the fact that the organization that put it out, the American Council of Trustees and Alumni, was established by Lynn Cheney, the wife of the U.S. Vice President, and she's listed on the website as the chairwoman.
And Neal maintains her organization is not trying to stifle dissent.
Let me phrase it a different way. We are interested in this report in bringing universities and colleges to task for their academic responsibility. We certainly believe that they have academic freedom and can speak out and speak their mind. But what we're also saying is that academic freedom is not freedom from responsibility, and that includes passing on the history and heritage of this country to the next generation, because that, in fact, is what we are currently being asked to defend. And what we say in the report is that is history and heritage, wrinkles and all.
The struggle will continue.
Well, I just don't think that it's unpatriotic to question the government's policy at this time or any other time. I always thought that America was built on dissent. It was built on the pursuit of free speech. At the moment, we're supposedly in a war for democracy. It's very sad to see a group like Lynn Cheney's American Council of Trustees and Alumni attacking the very institution we're supposedly defending right now.
She flies Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. It's a genuine carnival of old, complete with cabinet freak shows, corporate strongmen, foreign policy roller coasters, and multinational corporate clowns. We've got phony media pitchmen hyping an election like carnival hucksters, pitching a rigged game that was impossible to win, leaving us to pick the cheap prize that no one really wanted. George W. Bush, a tiny stuffed buffoon, standing on the trophy shelf to the extreme right of his father, Ronald Reagan, and Richard Nixon.
Hey, you with the red checkered hat on, would you like to see what you've won? A world of adventure is waiting for you behind door number one.
See the puppet show with a return visit from many old favorites from the original cast. Yes, my friends, we have Dick Cheney as Elmer Fudd, Donald Rumsfeld as Yosemite Sam, and Jesse Helms as just plain Goofy.
For tonight's performance, the role of Clarence Thomas will be played by Al Jolson.
Colin Powell plays Pluto, Mickey Mouse's vicious guard dog who seems to have lost or maybe never had any genitalia. This show once featured Ronald Reagan as a marionette for big business, but now the same old guys have their hands stuck so far up the tight rectal sphincter of little George that they can operate him like a hand puppet.
Thrills, spills, and adventures. You'll cry and you'll scream and you'll laugh. Take a peek behind the red door for only a buck and a half.
Yes, indeed, it's Little George's traveling carnival and perpetually privatized medicine show. We got you working stiff Ferris wheel, the Dow Jones free fall, public waterways turned into a tunnel of love canal. Our whole culture seems like George Jr.'s big funhouse, where his claims are so distorted they can only be viewed in the funhouse mirror. But his point of view is so distorted that when you see it in the funhouse mirror, the reflection seems normal. He claimed he's getting government off our backs by getting rid of Medicare, Social Security, PBS, and the public library system. He wants to get government off our backs and into our bedrooms. But the real reason he wants to get government off our backs is because he wants to keep screwing us, but George only likes it in the missionary position.
Would you like to buy a bottle? We swear you will never grow old. It takes lines from your face, it'll get you a date and it cures.
Though elected by the overwhelming indifference of the American people, recent public opinion polls show them divided between the paranoid and the lazy. 15% claiming that George W. Bush stood for everything they ever believed in and pregnant Chad should be carried to term, except when the life of the mother is at stake. 24% claiming that George W. Bush put at risk everything they ever believed in, and that Dimple Chads were somehow connected to the Kennedy assassination, while the vast majority of people, 61%, had no idea what they believed in the first place, and therefore could formulate no opinion.
The bright lights make you dizzy as the big wheel spins you around. You can almost smell the heavens till the big wheel brings you down.
We Americans seem to bask in the golden comfort of the familiar, electing not a president, but more of a commissioner of baseball for the multinational league, as the carnival expands until a full-fledged theme park of the prosaic. Six firms over America, as strip malls and department stores homogenize every speck of variety, so the only sense of innovation we have anymore is new and different ways to export super-sized blandness to every possible customer in the global theme park. At the food court, we may have to convince Mexicans just what a Chalupa Supreme is, but Taco Bell, it's the people's taco. Registered trademark. But that's nothing compared to the McMuslim burger, a samosa with cheese, McHoof and mouth disease, and KFCIA.
Go see Madame Zelda. Her crystal is true to the end. Her powers are truly amazing. She knows just how much you will spend.
Rolling blackouts in California ruin a perfect wilderness for a quart of natural gas. Dick Cheney makes $36 million in 1 year from oil profits. Ruin a perfect wilderness for a quart of natural gas. It's like a mantra or a sing-along being sung by Disney-like mechanical heads of state operated by the all-powerful Wall Street Wizards of Oz.
Pay no attention to that corporation behind the flag.
And no matter how many times they sing, ruin a perfect wilderness for a quart of natural gas. Cut taxes for the rich and give the poor a bath. Find a new enemy, we're tired of bombing Iraq.
But no matter how many times they sing it, it still ends with the same old line. It's a small mind after all.
You were listening to Chris Chandler and Ann Feeney doing Carnival. Last time on our program, we had Ann Feeney doing the corporate welfare song. And we were talking just before the music about the crusade against free speech on America's campuses, among other places. And an issue that has been getting a lot of attention has been the case of Sami Al-Aryan, who is a professor that was suspended from the University of South Florida for speaking out on a Fox TV show. And he was suspended or actually fired by the president of the university, and that has attracted the ire of a wide range of academics, progressive human rights activists. And we have also sent a letter to the president saying that as I personally am involved in academics and academic exchanges, I would put her school down as a school that I would never recommend my students attend. And we'll bring you more information on that when we have it. Now let's talk a little bit more about things that scare us. As the song went at the beginning of the program, Jim Page's America, You're Scaring Me. I'd like to talk a little bit about Henry Kissinger.
In 1954, the United States overthrew the government of Guatemala with a military coup, and 30 years of violence ensued. Many, many people, innocent people, unarmed people, women, children, elderly, men died, were tortured, were maimed by the dirty war in Guatemala. And this was repeated in El Salvador, in Nicaragua, in Panama, in Colombia, in Bolivia, in Venezuela, in Brazil, in Chile in 1973. There was a democratically elected government. The head of that government was named Salvador Allende. He was elected fair and square at the ballot box, the American way. It wasn't even close. It wasn't like this latest thing in Florida where there had to be recounts and all that. Henry Kissinger was the Secretary of State. Richard Nixon was president. A young man named Jeffrey Davidow was the political officer in the U.S. Embassy in Santiago de Chile at this time. And together they conspired with the military, with the far right-wing fascist elements of the military in Chile to make a coup. And on September 11th, 1973, this coup was executed. And tens of thousands of members of civil society in Chile were rounded up, were brought to a stadium. The stadium was filled. Many of the country's greatest artists, greatest musicians were among these people. There was at least one reporter from the United States and another U.S. citizen. The reporter was named Charles Horman, and the U.S. citizen was named Frank Teruggi. There was a movie later made about Horman in which Sissy Spacek played his wife and Jack Lemmon played his father, called Missing. It was nominated for an Academy Award back in the 80s. And they were killed too. And more people were killed on September 11th, 1973 as a result of orders from Washington than died on September 11th, 2001.
And you get the experts on terrorism like Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger and Oliver North. Well, maybe for the first time the corporate networks are telling the truth, if it takes one to know one. But let's look at who these people are. Henry Kissinger, how many if we define terrorism as the taking of innocent life, let's look at September 11th back a few decades to 1973, September 11th, when Salvador Allende, the democratically elected leader of Chile, died as Pinochet, the U.S.-backed dictator backed by Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger, came to power. Thousands of people, including the great guitarist Victor Jara, killed by Pinochet's forces. That's terrorism, and that's Henry Kissinger. Let's look at Vietnam and Cambodia. We're talking about millions of people who died. And who were some of the architects of that? We're talking about the man who now appears on the screen and said, even before the president selected, we've got to go after the terrorists and the countries that harbor them.
You are flying to Vienna. You have phoned the board your airplanes. Sit at oaken tables, speak in solemn tones, while the leaders of all nations keep a deep respectful silence. You're moving pawns and bishops made of flesh and blood and bones. But the white bones of Allende and the scattered bones of Chile are the screen that breaks the silence of thousands blown away. Oh, the white bones of Allende and the scattered bones of Chile are not silent. They are screaming, they're your peace cries, Dr. K. While you banter with reporters, while you charm your fellow diners, while you dance with wives of princes, while you rest from cares of state, there are thousands in the prisons. There are widows numb with sorrow. There are graves unmarked and hidden. There are ghosts outside your gate. And the white bones of Allende, scattered upon the Chile, are the scream that breaks the silence of a thousand blown away. For the white bones of Allende and the scattered bones of Chile are not silent. They are screaming, they're your peace prize, Dr. McCain. Kissinger in China. Oh, it's Kissinger in Cairo. Kissinger at NATO in the grand old power game. But the white bones of Allende tell another darker story. Oh, you never got to Chile, but you killed it just the same. And the white bones of Allende, scattered bones of Chile, are the scream that breaks the silence of the thousand blown away. Oh, the white bones of Allende, and scattered bones of Chile, are not silent, they are screaming, they're your peace prize, Dr. King.
Well, you've been listening to Al Giordano, The War on Terror, The War on Drugs. That was an excerpt. Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! And Tom Paxton with a song that was written around 1980-something. Well, I'm Paul Aronson. You've been listening to Tokyo Progressive's Chocopol News. Let's go out with a little bit more of Al Giordano and perhaps even a little bit more of Jim Page with America, You're Scaring Me. Until next time, this is Paul Aronson. Bye-bye.
More people were killed on September 11th, 1973, as a result of orders from Washington than died on September 11th, 2001. Now, before somebody then accuses me, well, obviously, if you can make that kind of comparison, you're in favor of the terrorism of September 11th. You know what I say? Fuck you. I'm from New York City. I was born there. I was raised there. And I hear a lot of people saying, we have to use what happened to my city in order to justify the taking away of all our civil liberties in the United States. We've got the White House press secretary saying, this is a time when we have to watch what we say. Yes, in the honor of New York City, folks, you have to watch what we say. We refuse to shut up. That is the only quality that unites all New Yorkers, the refusal to shut up. And we're going to watch what we say now to honor our dead in New York. No, thank you, sir.
America, you're scaring me, you're making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it, not in my American name. America, you're scaring me, making me ashamed. You're going out for blood, and I can't let you do it, not in my American name.